gorgeous weather all across Saskatchewan, above normal temperatures, and I mean well above normal. Regina expected to hit 30 today, Saskatoon 26. Normal is, what, 16 or so? Sunny, warm conditions to continue by the looks of things for another week or so. We'll take it, which is good for the most part, but also dry conditions start to create issues, especially in our forest area. We're joined right now by Carl Neggers. We've spoken to Carl many times in recent years, especially with the fire situation in the north. He's the CEO of Forest Saskatchewan and SM Solutions as we mark Forestry Week. Welcome to the program, Carl.
Hey, thanks, Brent.
So, looking back on this fire season, one of the worst, would you say, in recent memory?
Absolutely. Actually, the last 3 years have been significant. Normally, just for your listeners in terms of context, on an annual basis, we tend to see a burn, a wildfire burn, of about 600,000 hectares. Over the past 3 years, we've accumulated almost 6 million hectares. And this last year, there was 3 million hectares that that were burnt by wildfire.
Gosh, what does that start to do when we see that kind of number impacting our forest?
Well, it's quite significant. And I'll talk a little bit about this year. About a million of the 3 million were in the commercial forest zone. And the commercial forest zone, it has a lot of stakeholder interest. We have recreational areas. We have First Nations communities. We have outfitters. We have hunting and trapping. And certainly our industry is harvesting in that area. And when you lose a million hectares of merchantable timber, that's problematic for our industry and certainly problematic for other industries in that commercial forest zone. And with the lack of maybe alternative fiber access, that puts our industry, our current industry, at risk. And you just throw on U.S. tariffs and countervailing duties, and you start to see that this is problematic.
Has there been then a shortage of product coming out of that commercial forest area because of the fires?
Not for the current industry we have some surplus in the residual side, but in the softwood side, we're doing reasonably well. But again, when you're losing on average 600,000 hectares, and this last year, a million, trying to replace that in other parts of the commercial forest becomes problematic.
So what do these companies do? It puts this kind of pressure on them. We've got the reserve, that's good, but it takes a while for those forests to regrow. What's their option?
Well, first and foremost, we really want the provincial government. The provincial government has the responsibility for wildfire suppression and has the responsibility for reforestation on wildfire-impacted areas. And we know that they spend hundreds of millions of dollars on fire suppression and evacuations towards maintaining public safety. But we want to encourage them to also keep mindful that the forest needs protection as well from wildfire. And that doesn't happen at the suppression part. It really starts at the planning part. What are some proactive things that we can do to take some of those suppression dollars and put them into developing a healthy forest strategy where we make the forest more resilient and it gives more certainty to our industry in terms of predictability for their annual harvests?
You know, it's one thing to think about a stand of forest, as you say, that's commercially viable. But then when you start losing homes and cottages and businesses, and then you look at the disaster out in Jasper, Alberta. So when you say the government, you'd like to see them do more management wise. Can you give me some idea what that management would look like?
Yeah, sure. What we've done at Forest Saskatchewan, we've been working with like-minded stakeholders on a healthy forest proposal. We put together a healthy forest working committee, which includes stakeholders like the U of S, Sask Polytech, the Sask Outfitters, Prince Albert Grand Council, Sask Economic Development Alliance, and the City of Prince Albert. And we put forth this proposal to the province to lead the development of a collaborative strategy that includes all the key strategic themes that would maintain a healthy forest and a sustainable forest for our province. And we're hopeful that they'll take the lead on this, and that will start an approach where we can start to take our collective efforts and put them into a more common and united way of managing the forest.
Well, definitely. Like so many situations, better to be preemptive and then not have to react when we have a fire season like we've just gone through. And I'm guessing some of these fires are probably still burning in the north.
It depends. I think the Public Safety Agency would have a better idea of where that would be. But our hopes is that the part of the recovery of this is that the province lays out its plan for reforestation, because it gets problematic if they're not reforesting. Then invasive species can infiltrate some of these stands, and these invasive species aren't viable in terms of merchantable timber sometimes, like poplar.
You know, it's interesting you say that about the reforestation. I recall seeing a post in social media earlier this summer, and I think it was like maybe even a dozen people, if that, and they had, over the course of a couple of weeks, had planted something like 75,000 of these little trees. I think it may have been up in the Narrow Hills, up in that area somewhere.
Yeah. Well, our industry, we're responsible for reforestation where we harvest, and we plant two trees for everyone we take. The province now, with the damage that has occurred from the wildfire season just this year, is likely looking at planting, or required to plant, over a billion trees. So,
wow.
it's a big investment, and we're hopeful that they're listening to the importance of reforestation in these wildfired areas.
Carl Neggers is our guest as we are marking National Forestry Week. What does it mean to have a week designated for forestry in your mind, Carl?
Well, the forest has many interest. It's a shared resource in our province, and we just want to remind people of the benefit of the forest that we have in this province. We're gifted with about 34 million hectares of forest in this province. So everybody kind of knows that Saskatchewan is food, fertilizer, and fuel, but we want them to remember that there's a fourth F, and it's forestry, and that by managing it properly, using collective and collaborative strategies for management, and having leads like the province and the federal government investing appropriately, we can all enjoy the forest for centuries to come.
One thing I love about this province is when you get visitors that come to Saskatchewan and they have that very narrow view of what the province looks like, and that is they take the number one highway from Mooseman on the east side of the province through Regina, through Swift Current, and they say, not much going on in Saskatchewan. And then you say, just go a few hours north and see what's going on here, because our forest is just such a treasure that that we all love how our province is laid out.
Yeah, we try to keep it a secret. We don't want anybody to enjoy. We like it so much, right?
You know, it's interesting. I just saw an article the other day, too, and I don't know in what way it might be useful here, but it's this new company down in the States, and they launched their first satellite just the other day, and they eventually, over the next 5 years, and it's called FireSat, and it is going to be this 50-satellite network, and they say they're going to be able to detect a fire the size of a swimming pool from orbit. And they say it'll be global. They'll be able to identify a fire. Do you think that's part of the firefighting issue that we have here? Is because we have such a vast area in the north with all those trees, often a fire can burn before people realize that it's even there.
Yeah, the better the technology starts to emerge and allow us to detect quickly, that's a good thing. But we also need a suppression action plan that attacks fires quickly, and some of our concern is when you have an agency that's focused on public safety, maybe they're not reacting to fires as quickly as they ought to because they're not a public concern. But when they become a public concern, they're so large, they're hard to suppress. So we're encouraging, again, the provincial government to lay out its wildfire strategy using up-to-date technology detection, and also to have strategies to act on fires quickly.
That's a good point. You're talking about the province, but I know there's also has been talk every time we go through a tough fire season. There's always this conversation, well, should we have a national firefighting force, almost like an army division that could be assigned to different areas? Is that something that you think would even be plausible?
It could be, but I still think we've got to take some of this money because suppression is a reactionary thing, and I truly believe that we've got to be far more proactive. There's opportunities to do better research in this province in terms of making a forest more fire resilient. There's ways and means of looking at aged out forest and managing properly. We've got some forests that are aged out and they're infected with mistletoe and bugs. And Jasper was a good example. Everybody knew that place was ready to burn, but nobody wanted to cut the trees down because tourists want to see trees, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I think we need to educate. And part of Forestry Week is making the public aware that managing a forest means that there is harvesting activity that keeps the forest healthy. And reforestation keeps the forest resilient.
Carl Neggers, always a pleasure spending some time, CEO of Forest Saskatchewan and SM Solutions, and some thoughts on this National Forestry Week. Thanks so much for your time, Carl.
Oh, thanks, Brent. Thanks for having us on. Appreciate it.
It's the Evan Bray Show. We continue for a few more minutes here. Brent Lauk's filling in. Evan's back tomorrow on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. Well, the one thing I got to say I really enjoy about doing the Evan Bray Show is just the amazing people that text us and call us and the amazing guests that I get to talk to each and every day. And this morning was certainly a prime example. What an interesting mix that we had. Robert Freeburg, Saskatchewan's firearms commissioner, kicked us off just after 8:30 this morning. And then we were joined by public safety minister, Attorney General Tim McLeod, talking about a little bit about the expansion and the renovations at the Saskatoon Provincial Jail, but also a little bit of commentary from him on what's coming as far as the federal government and this gun buyback pilot project Ottawa is going to launch next month in Nova Scotia. We had Curtis Doney from the city of Regina with an update on some of their roadway projects. Brenna Owen, our Canadian press reporter we had on early, setting the scene outside the ostrich farm in BC. And then not long after we talked to her, we had her back on as word came that the family had a reprieve, that the Supreme Court of Canada will have a hearing to decide if they're going to hear the case. So it's all put on hold for the time being. It's a stay, I guess, on that. Deputy Trent Steveley, Regina Police Force, was in talking about some of the latest crime stories in Regina. Shannon Friesen joined us, president and CEO of the Construction Association of Saskatchewan. And the one thing I took away from Shannon's conversation, they need workers. And whether you're experienced in construction, trades or not, she said, give them a call at the Saskatchewan Construction Association or talk to any of the offices of major builders, construction firms, because they are desperately in need of people that want to work. Saskatchewan's smartest radio listener. We had a win on that this morning pretty quickly. James Cahoot got the win for the folks at Little Town Apparel, and James will be back next week with his question. We were talking to Saskatchewan author and pop culture guy Craig Sullivan about his new book, and we just got off the phone with Carl Neggers, CEO of Forest Saskatchewan, talking about the importance of forests in our province. It has been a delight for me to work here the past 3 days. Evan's got a sweet gig here, and I know he's been enjoying his 3 days on his family farm helping with harvest. He'll be back here behind the microphone tomorrow. Before I go, this also may be a bit of a farewell for me, because Lotto 649 goes tonight. I don't know how many millions of dollars it is, but I think I'm going to follow what Carrie Edwards did. Did you hear this story? Carrie Edwards, a woman in Virginia, not much of a regular lottery player. She decided she was going to buy a Powerball ticket. She got ChatGPT on her phone to pick her numbers. You know where this is going, right? So she, you know, she didn't win the big multi-million pot, but she did win $150,000 after having artificial intelligence pick her numbers. And as soon as I saw this story, I thought, I know what a lot of people are going to be doing today. They're going to get their phone out, ChatGPT or whatever AI you have on there, pick me my Lotto 649 numbers. And who knows? Maybe it'll pay off. But really what is so sweet about this story about Carrie Edwards from the state of Virginia winning $150,000, she says, I've been very blessed in my life and I don't need this money. And so she designated three different organizations, including one foundation that helps research a particular medical condition that her husband had died from. So she is giving away her 150,000 winnings to these three different charitable organizations in her home state of Virginia. What a neat story, the way I thought. Good on her for doing that, and a good use of artificial intelligence. Okay, I got to get home and get ready for this Blue Jays game. 5 o'clock this afternoon. Jays in Boston, they lost last night by a score of 4-1. We just cannot hit the ball these days. Isn't it weird how teams go through these ups and downs? You know, the Jays, it started off the season, and if you would have told us in the early going of Major League Baseball this year that the Jays would be in the playoffs, he'd be going, I don't know, because it wasn't a real strong start to the season. But then came along June and July, and they were just almost unbeatable. Everybody was hitting the ball. Their defense was playing great. Pitching was on the mark. And now it seems like every aspect of the Blue Jays is struggling right now. But just like that, it can turn around, right? Hoping for a win against Boston today, game two of that three-game series. And then they'll wrap up the regular season Friday, Saturday, Sunday with a three-game series against Tampa. They're going to be in the playoffs. We just don't know at what point yet. Maybe if the Yankees keep winning, the Jays might be in the wild card next week. We shall see. Get out and enjoy this beautiful weather, Saskatchewan. Brent Loux, thank you for listening to the Evan Bray Show on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.